Well, good morning to you all. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 10 this morning, starting at verse 11. I have to confess it's one of my favourite bits of the New Testament. So much in it. Hebrews 10, starting at verse 11. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, "This is the covenant which I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. It's quite a passage, isn't it? There's so much in it. And so much of it which affects our daily lives following Jesus' victory on the cross. A couple of verses. Verse 4, "It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins." Verse 8, "Burnt offerings God did not desire." Easter is only a week ago. We have so much to hold on to as we go through the rest of the year, remembering what all of that means to us. In Matthew 27:45, we read that when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Remember that the curtain of the temple was torn not from bottom to top, from top to bottom. So very symbolic that the only way to God was not through human beings, but through Jesus. The priest, holy of holies in the temple, was replaced forever by Jesus, our great high priest. He gave us a new and living way. By faith, we, you and I, can be made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once and for all. And this is the covenant that I make with them, says the Holy Spirit. I will put my laws in their hearts. I write them on their minds. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. I think sometimes we need to hold on to that. There's a real danger for some folk who seem to, having come forward and be prayed for and be set free from sin, like to go back into those sins. Don't do it. If God has dealt with it, leave those sins at the foot of the cross. Verse 19. "Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." If you take nothing else away this morning, take those verses home with you today. Beautiful, from Hebrews chapter 10. And here we have three truths about Jesus. Firstly, he is the living way. I think so often we tend to put him back in the past, but Jesus is a living way. He's the living way into the presence of God. Jesus' death revealed the greatness of God's love for all of his creation. He is the only way. And I think it's good to remind ourselves sometimes just how much he does love us. And how we should be always giving him thanks and praise. We've been praising him this morning. Sometimes I think we need to know more the love of God deep in our hearts. How often do we give him thanks and praise? I think we get quite good sometimes at bringing things for prayer, but I wonder how much time we actually spend thanking and praising him. I love the psalmist. He always seems to get things right in my book in many ways. It says this in Psalm 67. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Seems to me that David never gets fed up with thanking and praising and worshipping God. I think that's a good system, if you like, a good message to us today. We continue to give him all the thanks and all the praise. He not only shows us the way to God, but when we get to heaven, Jesus will be there to greet us. Hallelujah. And as we've just heard, Jesus is the great high priest over God's house in the heavens. And also in this passage, there are three exhortations. Let us draw near. How closely do we walk with God? Let us draw near. It's so easy, I think, for us to wander away and get tied up with so many other things. We lose sight of God altogether. The second one, let us hold fast. Hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to our faith in Jesus. Don't waver or move about. Thirdly, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. In the Anglican Church, there's one Sunday each year called Stir Up Sunday, which some of you would have probably heard of. In many churches, much needed. Once a year is good, but wouldn't it be good, much better in fact, if we did it every day? Stirring one another up to love and good works. How often do we do that? I think it's so important we do encourage one another day by day. I think it's so easy to get bushwhacked, if you like, by the hassle of everyday life. You've just been listening to the prayers this morning. All those areas where there's problems, it's so easy for them to overtake us. Issues in government, in the world, they can crowd in on us, and we lose sight of God altogether if we're not careful. We need to hold fast. We need to keep drawing near to God, pushing aside that hassle. And I think the Psalm 24 just confirms it. Says, lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, your ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The gates we have are so much the business and the activity that we're engaged in day by day. We need to push those aside in one sense, that God may indeed rule in our hearts, not what's going on in everywhere in our lives, in the world and elsewhere. So easy for us to lose sight of God altogether, I think. You've just been listening to the prayers that have been prayed. All the issues that are going on, it's so easy for them to crowd in on our minds, and God sort of gets lost and pushed backwards. And that's what Easter is all about, to let Jesus reign in our lives, not just Sundays. Every day. That's what Easter's all about. Jesus freeing us from our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Jesus coming to the whole of our lives, not just little bits of it. Jesus wants to be in all of our lives, the whole of our life, into our hearts. Where are our hearts? Our hearts so easily get drawn aside into so many other things, things that take us off the beaten track, as it were. God in our minds. Jesus says, I'm going to transform your minds. Our minds, they need to be transformed, don't they? It's so easy for us to get bogged down. And Jesus didn't just come to die for us. He came to bring us peace and joy, as well as love and life. So much that he gives us. Yet it seems to me so often we find it hard to praise him and to worship him, to pray to him. I think God wants to stir up this Sunday. Stir us up to all these exhortations in this chapter from Hebrews. And I think there's three things that are relevant to us drawing near. It's about our personal faithful devotion. What is our personal devotion? Is it daily? Is it weekly? Is it monthly? Is it once on a Sunday when we come to church? It's about our personal faithful devotion. I think we need to be so centered on Jesus and his desires for our life, what we do, what we say, where we go, how we live. Second, it's about our being consistent, not half-hearted, putting God at the centre of our lives. We have this freedom to bring everything before God. There's nothing that we can bring that he doesn't already know about anyway. We can bring everything in our lives to God, everything. Thirdly, it's about meeting our social obligations. Are we showing the faith? So often I hear it said, oh, I'm too old, I've done that before. Oh, not do that again. Or I'm too young, I don't know enough. Whoever we are, whatever age we are, wherever we are, God calls us, I believe, to share the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people about him. And I think the way we treat folk also is so important. The way we live. Do our lives reflect godly things or not? How do we treat our fellow believers? How about our neighbours? I think it's so important. I think so many efforts to sort of bring people to faith is support by people saying, well, you don't know my neighbour does, and they go to church. It's so important that we live lives that are glorifying to God. Verse 22 talks about us having a sincere heart, cleansed. God has opened up that new and living way for you and I to be in his presence. It's now down to us, through faith in Christ and forgiveness, we can come to with a heart that is sincere, carrying no guilty conscience. Praise the Lord. Those are three conditions of approach, really. Come with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with clean hearts. Do not allow sins, however small you think they are, to come into the way. I've heard people say, it's such a small sin I've done, God's not really interested in that, it doesn't matter. In God's economy, all sin is sin. I've heard it so many times, oh, it's only a little thing. I didn't really mean to upset them or kick them, but it just happened, you know. Sin is sin, and we need to remember that, to have lives that are glorifying to God. Our whole lives are important to him. I think we lose sight of that sometimes, how important you and I are to God. We are precious in his sight. And Jesus died for all of us, not just some of us. Verse 23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. What God says, God does. Hallelujah. He calls us to be faithful, not swatting around, looking for something new. Oh, you know how what they do in that place or this place. Keep our eyes focused on God. And God doesn't promise us an easy ride. He does promise to give us all that we need to face each and every day. He gives it to us to overcome temptations, to live through difficult times. God gives us what we need. Hallelujah. Verse 24, let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Do we go along with this? Are we those Christians who spur one another along to love and good deeds? I pray that we are. It goes on, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Let's encourage one another. I think in church it's so easy to knock other people. So easy to say, oh, do you know what they did? Ooh. We spend time knocking other people. We should be those who are encouraging one another. Encouraging one another in the faith, in how we live, how we behave. God cares. There's that challenge to be faithfully consistent. I pray God will bless that to us. There's a thought. How do we spur one another along to love? How do we spur one another along to good deeds? We really need to come before God in that and say, come on God, show me what should I be doing? Who should I be speaking to? A few questions. How is your relationship with God today? How about your relationship with your brothers and sisters in the church? What is God saying to you today? What are you going to do about it? I think it's so easy sometimes to hear God saying something, oh, I don't want to do that. What are you and God working at together in the moment? So what are you going to take away with you this morning? Those few short words you've got there up on the screen, draw near, hold fast, stir up. Take away that new and living way. Hold on to the hope we profess. Do not give up meeting together. Encourage one another. But you and I, as Christians, we are not destroyed. We believe and we have faith. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will strengthen the faith that we have. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and him alone, not to walk away from Easter and reflect and just forget it. Lord, keep us focused, Lord. Keep continuing to fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may live lives that are worthy of our calling. In Jesus' name. Amen.